You are listening to The Scroll, an audiobook about Ecclesiastes written and read by Vance Neudorf. This is Chapter 10. Benjamin strode over to the desk and his face was grim. A reward has been offered to find you. Moriah has been discreet and has only passed it on to her more devious connections in the city. Is there a charge to go with it? What am I wanted for? Moriah is more cunning than that. She said she is looking for an older man who was like a father to her. She wants to invite him to her wedding. Kohelet raised his eyebrows. Like a father to her? Moriah was clever. If Daniel got wind of her plan, he would have to play along. Benjamin nodded toward the window. We must leave Jerusalem. Where would we go? We have no money, and without our friends here in the market, we would starve. You would be under suspicion as a runaway slave, and no matter where we went, for I cannot play the role of the wealthy slave owner, we would be found out quicker on the run than if we just stayed here. Benjamin leaned out the window and gripped the sill. The wedding will take place on the eve of the Feast of Booths, and that's weeks away. With the reward circulating out there, someone will eventually turn us in. Kohelet eased the large man away from the window. Then we need to keep this quiet. Caleb is just across the way, and he is up early this morning. No doubt he has connections to those that may know about the reward. The dark face flushed, and Benjamin's voice dropped to a whisper. I'm sorry, master. I did not think of him. Caleb would have no problem turning us in for a reward. We must be very careful for the next 2 weeks. You keep listening for any news from the street. I have a scroll to complete, so I will stay inside as much as possible until the Feast of Booths arrives and the wedding is complete. That is a good plan. Dira told me that Daniel and Moriah will leave on a trip to Egypt the day after the wedding. If we can avoid her until they leave, this trouble will fade away, and we can work at selling your scroll. He looked down at the desk. It looks like you are making great progress. Kohelet picked up the scroll. It has been going well. I like how this last part worked out. He raised the words closer to his failing eyes and spoke them aloud. Everything that exists has certain characteristics, and mankind is no exception. People are limited in their ability to argue with one who has supreme knowledge, yet they continue to try even though it is futile. Not one of us knows what is best to do during the few and fleeting days we pass through like a shadow, for we cannot know what will happen on the earth after we are gone. So I say a good reputation is better than a lavish funeral, for it makes the day of one's death even better than the day of one's birth. Indeed, it is better to attend a funeral than a party, for death is the destiny of every person, and the living should take this to heart. Mourning is better than laughter, because grief makes us wiser. Although the wise embrace sorrow, fools seek only pleasure. Benjamin nodded eagerly. That is very good. You have combined those teachings well. Fools avoid funerals, because when they listen to people talk about someone they loved, it exposes their pleasure-seeking life as a sham. They prefer to find a party where they can celebrate and not be challenged to see a different way of living. That's exactly what I wrote next. It is better to be criticized by the wise than praised by the foolish, for the chatter of fools is like the crackling of burning twigs under a pot. A lot of noise, but nothing is accomplished. Excessive praise, however, can turn the wise into fools, for flattery corrupts the mind. Benjamin clapped his hands and grinned. Those are some of my favorite proverbs. Kohelet nodded. Mine too, for they paint a clear picture of the contrast between the wise and the foolish, and yet also show how fluid that distinction is. I've seen it many times, and I've experienced it myself. A wise person starts listening to others praise them for how knowledgeable they are, and suddenly they become proud and lose their perspective. A proud person who knows a lot about many things is the biggest fool of all. As the proverb says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. That is what I love about proverbs. They're so easy to remember and pass on to others who want to walk in the path of the wise. They are the language of the wise, for those short sayings are like a nail you drive into a wall so you can hang things on it. Benjamin pointed at the window ledge, or tie a crust of bread around so the wise won't sleep the day away. Kohelet gently shook the scroll. Then no doubt you will love this next proverb. Finishing a task is better than starting one, and endurance is better than enthusiasm. Benjamin's deep smile spread across his face. Kohelet wagged a finger at him, and the next one is for you, in case I don't get it done. Control your temper, for anger grows in the heart of a fool, and do not say the past was better than the present, for that is a foolish perspective. Benjamin laughed. I don't wish to become a fool, but at times I do look back and feel angry at Daniel for what he did to you." Qehelet sank back into his chair. "In this world, it seems, there is always something that you could get angry at. People act like fools, the legal system is flawed, friends treat you poorly. No matter where you turn, there's always things that you can get angry." "It is true, Master. That is why I avoid Caleb. I think of the proverb, 'Don't befriend a hot-tempered man, and don't associate with one who harbors anger.' His bad temper consumes him, and then he makes terrible mistakes and causes great trouble for anyone associated with him. He is not a wise man. His bad temper will ruin his life." Yeah, that is exactly what I wrote next. "Wisdom is like an inheritance in that it provides an ongoing benefit to the living. Although wealth gives a measure of security, the advantage of wisdom is that it preserves the lives of those who acquire it." Benjamin looked at him, waiting for more. "That is where I finished for now. And I don't have the energy to write any more today. I think I'll just eat some of the food Eli brought and go to bed." Benjamin stood and put a hand on Qehelet's shoulder. "That is a good idea, Master. You sleep, and I will go see what more I can find out about Moriah's reward and who has heard of it." He pointed to the coins Eli had given to Qehelet. "I am afraid I will need one of those coins to buy us more olive oil." Qehelet pushed himself to his feet, picking up a coin and passing it to Benjamin. "I am afraid I've been burning a lot more oil. I need the light to see what I'm writing." Benjamin shook his head. "No, Master. It is my fault, for I have been staying up at night and reading over your work." Qehelet raised an eyebrow and cocked his head. "So you've been keeping track of my progress, making sure that I stay on task?" "Oh, no. I just enjoy seeing how you are bringing your teachings together. I tend to ramble a bit. I like it. It feels like I am sitting at your feet as you are teaching in the square." He grinned. "I especially like that I don't have to put up with the fools who always have to argue with you." "No doubt those same ones will also tell us this scroll can't be trusted because it was obviously written by someone who has no faith in God. The same ones who always say that I can't believe in God because I only see life under the sun." "Let them say what they want. Those who like to cut teachings apart and use the words and phrases to make silly arguments only prove their own foolishness. Those who seek wisdom will find it in your teachings." He touched the scroll. "Your wisdom will last much longer than their arguments." Benjamin stood a minute, and then, for the first time, leaned forward and wrapped his thick arms around Qehelet. "But you must rest tonight. I don't want you to get sick again." He released Qehelet and headed out the door. Qehelet took the remaining coin and hid it where he and Benjamin kept their dwindling cash of actual currency. Living was stressful without a steady income to depend on. No matter how much he tried to tell himself that it wasn't important, that he was rich in the things that really mattered, the reality of their situation kept nagging at his mind. Since leaving the palace, it was Benjamin who was actually adding a coin here and there to their hoardings. He could not seek work outside the market and risk getting caught as a runaway slave, but he was a man of many skills and was always willing to help out. He never requested payment, but he was well-loved and at times was given cash. Dira likely figured into this as well, for there were times when they could not pay their rent on their apartment, and Benjamin left for the night and returned the next day with enough coins to see them through. He sat on the bed and glanced over at Eli's food basket. There was no sense of hunger, just overwhelming exhaustion. He lay back and covered himself. If he grew hungry in the night, the food would still be there. Right now, he just needed to rest. As he drifted off to sleep, he heard Simca call from the window ledge, or was it from out in the market? You've been listening to The Scroll, Chapter 10, a story of the writings we now refer to as Ecclesiastes. You can discover more about this at artofwork.ca, where we bring ancient wisdom to life. Thank you for listening.